Good morning, dear listeners. Welcome to Early Morning Scoop with me, David Shombe. And it's time to thank Matthias Angala for giving us the mic. And we are here from 6 until the hour of 8 o'clock in the morning. And this is your economic conversational program. It's the 15th of August, 2025. We are moving toward the end of the year. And this morning, it's very, very important to look at what we have done in, in the past months. What have you done in the past month? Ask yourself those questions. How is your economic game plan? Are things going according to plans, or you need to go back and revise what you have done? And do you need to improve? Are you organized or disorganized? What lesson have you learned from the past, 7 months, or the past 8 months rather? What lesson have you learned? And what is the way forward? Because it's up to us, to, educate ourselves. It's up to us to give ourselves information. It's also up to us to make sure that we revise and relook at the decision that we are making. So that's why in this morning it's always very important. So it's very important to reflect back and look, how many steps have we moved forward? What are some of the challenges? And, how can we improve? Are things going according to plan? Are you distracted? Are you disorganized? And how you can get there? And what is very interesting is that the fact that you note that down, it means that, you are going somewhere. The fact that you know that, there are some faults or there are some weakness in your plan, or there are some challenges, the fact that you note that, it means that you are going somewhere. So it's very important to look at that. And I'm greeting you from your favorite number one talk radio station, Ekel FM Namibia, and wherever you are finding yourself. Some of you, you are still sleeping. Some of you, you are driving to work. Some of you, you are trying to get, transport to go to work. Some of you are going back home from work. Some of you you are just waking up, not really know where to start, where to go, what activity you should engage into, how to make money, how to improve your life, and also how to be a better person. But it's always very important. The fact that you wake up, that is already one step. It's what you need to do, particularly when you want to move to another step. That's why we are always indicating to you that, it's always very important to look at that you are exactly where you are supposed to be. You are exactly where you are supposed to be. And the fact that you are listening to Eagle FM Namibia, that is a good thing. And this is your morning economic conversational program. This is your morning economic conversational program that we discuss issues of economy, issues of development, issues which are affecting our people, and also what can we do in terms of moving forward, what can we do to improve the status quo. And we cut across various sectors of the economy. We look at financial institutions, we look at issues of government policies, national policies that are affecting domestic affairs. We look at issues of trade relations, issues of international relations, what is affecting, Namibia relations with other countries, who is our trading partners, what are the challenges and development which is happening. And we also look at political decisions, political communication. What do they mean? What is the impact of this political communication to our economy? And what can we do as citizens, what can we do as business people, what can we do as professionals, and what can we do as responsible citizens? Because the aim of the conversation is not really to blame somebody or to criticize, but is to make sure that we bring about those thought-provoking questions, we ask big questions, and we also encourage constructive criticism, we encourage debates, we encourage views, because that is the only way that we are going to develop our country, and it's the only way that we are going to advance our countries. looking at the challenges that we have, looking at the challenges that we have in Namibia, things continue not to be as we expect, but there are also progress. There are also progress that we need to acknowledge, particularly when it's coming to economic front, when it's coming to economic front, and where we are not doing right is where we need to look at. Where we are not doing right is when we need to look at, and how can we improve our institution? How can we improve our institution of governance? How can we improve our economic policies? How can we improve our laws? And indeed, how can we improve citizens' participation in economic activities? Because, you know, this program, we don't only look at what institution we're supposed to do to us, or what institution has to do to us, but we also look at what is the expectation of an ordinary citizen in making sure that Namibia is where it is, because it's not all about the state and those who are in charge of exercising the power of the state through government, but it's also about the citizen. Are we responsible? Are we organized? Do we know what is needed in the country? Do we have enough information about the progress and also challenges our countries are facing? And what can we do from that point of view? That's why we bring about this conversation. We bring about this conversation at your doorsteps. And we are always inviting you to make sure that in our discussion, it's not only a one-directed conversation, but it's a discussion which encourage everybody to give your input, give your questions, views, contribution, and also you look at what need to be done, looking at forward. And as it always has been, we always start with global news. What is happening globally? What is happening globally? What lesson can we learn from there? What is that connected to Namibia? What is that, connected to Namibia? And how can we move forward? Before we go to what we have today, as I have already indicated, we go to what we have today. So it's very crucial to make sure that you follow Eagle FM Namibia. Follow us in all our social media platforms. Follow us on Facebook, X, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Because when you do that, you start having a luxury of having access to right content-based economic information, information on development, information on trade, information on statistics, information on political communication based on bread and butter issue. So when you like our page, share our page, those who are following you also have a luxury of accessing those information, and we can build our country together. On top of that, we also have our economic paper. That is our e-paper, the Villager newspaper. That is an e-paper that you can access to every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. And like how today, sorry, it's very important not to miss out. Sorry, it's very important not to miss out, particularly the news of this week, news on development, news on industries, news on food security, news on regional development. So it's very important to get time and have access to the Villager newspaper. And interestingly, you can also subscribe to the Villager newspaper. Send your name, so we can add you to the WhatsApp group. Send your name, and save this number, 081-241-44, 081-241-44. And when you do that, every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday morning, you will be sent, the full version of, the Villager newspaper. We send the full version of the Villager newspaper, and, you get that luxury. You get that luxury of getting content and context about economic affairs. And we are always indicating to say, if you are a researcher, it's good to connect with other researchers. If you are a scholar, if you are a policymaker, it's good to have information. And having access to the Villager newspaper does not only give you tips, but give you content. And it's from there where you can also be able to expand your research and add to your sources, that you are using, either to develop that paper, either to expand that paper, develop that policy, get content, Look, what are the industrial leaders are saying? What are the captains of industries are saying? What are the academicians are saying? What are the people on the ground are saying? What are the SME operators are saying? What are your clients are saying? So get content, access to the Villager newspaper, and your life will be made more easier. So the other thing is also that with the Villager newspaper, with the coverage of the Villager newspaper, you can also talk to our marketing team, because you can advertise through the Villager newspaper. You can advertise through the Villager newspaper because of that coverage that we have. And if you look at other bigger companies, other bigger institutions advertising with us, why are you not doing that? Talk to our marketing team, then you get that access. You get that access. And, you know, we are always indicating to say, money spent on advertisement is money yet to come. Money spent on advertisement is more money yet to come, because of the coverage, you'll be able to have access to your clients in Namibia and also outside. Because the interesting thing about the digital version where we are operating, the interesting thing about the world of digitalization is that you do not just have the coverage of the people within your jurisdiction or people within your country, but you have access to anybody around the world who is at that platform that, you know, you are advertising. That's why if you connect with us, a business person, talk to our marketing team, then your life will be made more easier, and money spent on advertisement is money already on the way to your pocket and also to your business. So, yeah. Apart from that, you can also connect with us through downloading Ikel FM app. There are also those who find themselves in a situation where you are not connected with us due to the fluctuation in the frequency. We're indicating to you that the water is moved very fast, and those who are not using the frequency, people have already transferred themselves to an app. A lot of people are already using an app, that is Eagle FM app. So what you can do, just go to your Play Store, go to your App Store, then you can download Eagle FM app, put it in your phone. When you do that, you make it more easier for you to have access to these talk shows, to have access to these conversational programs. When you just open the Eagle FM app like that, when you just open it, you will listen to the programs which are on air. And in a situation that you have missed out, you can also go to podcast. And when you go to podcast, you have access to the previous program. You listen. That is an open archive that you can listen to. You can listen to at your own time, at your own pace. So download the Eagle FM app. Make your life easier and have access to the content and context, particularly when it's coming to economic affairs, policy affairs, issues of trade, issues of national and international development. And it will be easy for you. It will be easy for you. And we'll take it from there. The other thing is also that you can also get connected with us online. Just press in Eagle FM Namibia, press home, and you can listen to the radio online. And yeah, there is also the Imba app. Imba app is a digital version of your hymn book. It's a digital version of your hymn book. You can access Imba app. Because if you are at the place where you are required to use a hymn book and you do not have it, you gave it away, it's old, it's stolen, or you are just confused, you just lost it, or you are not able to find it, you don't need to worry. You don't need to stress yourself. Calm down, because we got you. We got you in the context that when you go to Imba app, when you go to a Play Store, App Store, press in Imba app. When you download Imba app, you have access to the digital version of your hymn book. And the good part of this, you know, because, you know, when you have a hard copy hymn book, you say that in one language, but the good thing about having accessing a hymn book through Imba app is that you have access to a digital version in more than one Namibian language. So find it in Oshiwambo, that is the Hangano. Find it in English. Find it in Oshierero, that is Omaimburiro. find it in Afrikaans, Silozi, and many other local Namibian languages. So use Imba app, download Imba app, and you must Imba with us, and you work smart. Because if you are abandoning the world of digitalization, if you are abandoning the world of technology, by the time you wake up, people are already 20,000 miles away from, you know, where you are, and it's going to be very difficult for you to catch up. So take time and familiarize yourself with this app. Take time and familiarize yourself with this app, and you will be able to work smart, access information, and also save time, energy. Yeah, before we go to the review of the week, particularly when it's coming to EMS, story is very crucial, story is very important to look at the international news. Look at the international news. What do we have on the table? What is happening globally, particularly when it's coming to the economy? What is happening in the continent of Africa? And what is happening in Namibia? And what can we learn from that? What can we learn? Because the very interesting thing about news is not just consuming of news, but it's also asking ourselves questions to say, what can we learn from this news? Because most of the news are centered at the reactions and the actions of human beings. But the question is that, what can you learn from this? Because you are also an ordinary human being. You can also find yourself in that situation. And where others are falling, we must learn. And where others are doing well, we must also learn. So let's go to a commercial break.
At ShopRite, we're celebrating 35 years of lower prices with unbeatable deals. Let's mark the occasion with savings on essentials like 2 kg Real Good Chicken, frozen mixed chicken portions for just $89.99. 2 kg King White Sugar, only $39.99. Valid until 17 August 2025. Don't miss out on these deals. ShopRite, lower prices you can trust, always. Stand to win your groceries for free at ShopRite. Buy any 3 participating products. Find the unique code on your till slip. WhatsApp it to us and see if you're a winner. Plus, there are instant daily prizes to be won. Only at ShopRite.
Namibians, ShopRite is turning 35. You've trusted us for quality products at low prices, and we thank you. It's now time to celebrate with big birthday specials on everything in store, such as 1 kilo bag Sunlight 5-in-1 hand wash powder, just $39.99 Namibian dollars, 400 ml Vaseline body lotion or cream, $49.99 Namibian dollars. Check your till slip for a possible win. ShopRite, 35 years of value you can trust, always.
Want to know about Namibia's latest business and economic news? Then look no further than the Villager newspaper. The Villager is an e-paper that is published every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for free, directly to your phone or computer. To become a subscriber, simply send a WhatsApp message with your number and email address to 081-200-4144. Be sure to save the phone number as a contact. The Villager, wherever you are.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Great news! Imba just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of Imba? Get all exclusive features for just 36 Namibian dollars a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything Imba has to offer at an unbeatable price. Imba, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
Yes, dear listeners, we are continuing with Early Morning Scope with me, David Shombe, and we are looking at global affairs. What is happening globally? What is happening in the globe? And you know, one of the news which is at the center of global affairs is people continue dying trying to leave Africa. People continue dying, try to leave Africa. And also, migrants are drowning. Migrants are drowning, especially trying to leave Africa. So I went to the Middle East. I went to the Gulf States. I went to Dubai. And some are trying to reach Qatar. Some are going to Europe. And it was indicated that 27 migrants died, including a newborn baby at the coast of Italy. And this includes people from Egypt, Somalia, Sudan, and also some from Pakistan. And the survivors are around 60s. And some of them, they were taken to Lampedusa. That is a migrant reception hotspot. And so it's very important for us to look at that. So including a newborn baby. 27 people died, drowned, including a newborn baby. And also there are 60 survivors. Majority of them are Africans. Majority of them are Africans who are trying to leave, are leaving Africa looking for better opportunity. So let us check this news.
Ungaro, a UNHCR spokesperson, people, including a newborn baby, have died after a boat carrying nearly 100 migrants capsized off the coast of Italy. The tragedy occurred 14 miles south of the island of Lampedusa on Wednesday, with the search for the people still missing continuing into the night. 20 bodies, including 6, which were found under the capsized boat, have already been recovered, local media has reported. 60 survivors were brought to a center in Lampedusa, Filippo Ungaro, a UNHCR spokesperson in Italy, said. It is understood there were between 92 and 97 migrants on board the boat when it departed Libya on Tuesday evening. The Coast Guard said in a statement that the death toll stood at 27, but was still provisional and being updated. Based on survivor accounts, the migrants left the coast of Tripoli on 2 boats. However, when one of the 2 vessels started to take on water, all the passengers were transferred to the other boat, made of fiberglass, which then capsized because of overloading. It wasn't immediately known how long the migrants had been at sea. Lampedusa mayor Filippo Manino said that the shipwreck happened presumably at dawn. So far this year, 675 migrants have died making the perilous Central Mediterranean crossing, not counting the latest sinking, according to the UN Refugee Agency. Deep anguish over yet another shipwreck off the coast of Lampedusa, where UNHCR is now assisting the survivors, Mr. Ungaro said on X. In the first 6 months of 2025, 30,060 refugees and migrants arrived in Italy by sea, a 16% increase compared to the same period last year, according to UNHCR. The migration route from northern Africa to southern Europe is considered one of the most dangerous in the world. Almost 2,500 people have died or disappeared on the Mediterranean crossing in the past decade. Most of the deaths have been attributed to small boats setting off from the coasts of Tunisia and Libya. The deadliest shipwreck off the coast of Lampedusa occurred in October 2013, when a boat carrying over 500 migrants from Eritrea, Somalia, and Ghana caught fire and capsized, killing at least 368 people.
Yes, you get it yourself. It's indicated that every year, around or more than 600 people die crossing the river, crossing the sea, particularly when they are trying to look for opportunities. And the question that we need to ask ourselves is that, why? Why are the Africans leaving their countries and end up having this unfortunate experience? Why are we leaving the rich Africa? Why are we leaving our country? What is happening? You know, somebody came to your country, colonized you, take your minerals, and left you with many more, but you still have to leave. You still have to leave your continent, understanding that, there are better opportunities outside. Understanding that there are better opportunities outside. I think it's last week, when we spoke about, around 100, 100 people also died. We are trying to leave, who left, Ethiopia there, trying to cross again to the Gulf states, looking for opportunities. And the, what is being talked about, what are some of the pushing factors? What are some of the pushing factors that are pushing our people to go outside our countries, our continent? Because Africa, up to now, is the richest continent around the world. Nothing can beat us in terms of what we have. Either it's marine resources, either it's mineral resources, either it's even in terms of unutilized human capital. Because remember, compared to the whole world, Africa is a continent which has higher population of, it's a youthful continent. Majority of the Africans are young people, energetic and capable. But why are people leaving Africa? Because if you speak about more than 600 people die every year trying to cross Africa, trying to cross rivers and seas via boats, which in most cases people who are operating this form of transportation are also illegal. And what will happen to our people when they end up in other countries? What will happen to our people? Are they really getting decent jobs? We have seen and we have heard authentic sources talking about what our people are doing in other countries, particularly those who live with the hope of getting jobs outside. They'll end up doing the jobs that we are not even, I cannot even mention them on air. Because these are some of the things that we need to look at. And what is telling you that we are also immune to this? Just a recent, Namibians were also rescued from Dubai there. Become victim of human trafficking. Then these are the questions that we need to ask ourselves. And maybe the lesson that we can also learn from this, particularly when it's coming to Libya. Libya have been one of the richest countries in Africa. Gold, oil, and it's a desert which was turned to a garden. And it was a case study of development or possibility of advanced development in Africa. Go and look at the history of Libya. Forget about the politics. Or you can also include the politics, but look at the history of Libya, development of Libya. Compare Libya. Don't go far. Just go to 2010, before Gaddafi was killed in 2011. Just go there and look at, because by 2010, the GDP of Libya was growing with over 10.5%. And ask yourself, how many countries have been doing that? How many countries have been doing that apart from China? It's few of them. And it was a leading case study. But what is happening now? What is happening now? Due to inability to manage their resources very well. Things become chaotic. Mercenaries get opportunities. External forces get opportunities. Now Libya is a desert. It's only a man who has the strongest gun. If your AK-47 is firing faster than mine, then you are the leader. There is no order. That's why people are leaving the African continent. But what are the resources? Somebody is benefiting from that chaos. So it's very important. So it's very important for us to look at that and also question ourselves to say why this is happening to other African countries. Why this is happening? What make us so immune to these things? Ask a young Namibian to say, are you proud to be a Namibian? Are you proud to work in Namibia? Listen to the answer. If I give you an opportunity in UK, are you not able to go? If I give you an opportunity in the US, are you not able to go? Then somebody with a diploma end up becoming, not even a housekeeper in, you become a cattle head in the UK. And it's really something that we need to look at, because if you compare what is happening to the speech of our Deputy Prime Minister, and Minister of Industries, Mines and Energy, when he was addressing the investors, and also the delegates on the third Namibia Oil and Gas Conference. Now, he stated that Namibia have seen countries become victims of their own resources, victims of their own natural resources, but we refuse to be like that. Because that when you have oil, you have green hydrogen, you have uranium, and not just uranium, you are at the top three in the world in terms of selling uranium. And uranium is one of the needed minerals right now in the world, because of green energy, because of the energy that is needed, particularly in terms of electricity. And it's one of the main, even if you want to see this, that uranium that we are producing is one of the main needed element in the world as we are speaking now, beating diamonds and many other minerals. Look at the tariffs of the tariffs that were imposed to Namibia by the US. Uranium is not part of that. They made it special to say, no, you know, with uranium is fine, we are not going to touch that. And ask why. Let's go to a commercial break, then we...
Stock up for August with real value at WB. Get a 2-liter Pepsi now for a sweet $14.99. 750ml WB cooking oil for only $26.99. 1 kg Sunlight hand wash powder for just $36.99. And 50 High Baby Active diapers at only $124.99. See all our real value deals at www.vurmanbrock.com. We care.
Who are we, you ask? The National Road Safety Council is a statutory body established in 1996 with a legal mandate to promote and manage road safety across Namibia. We believe every accident is preventable and every life is precious. Our mission is to make our roads, vehicles and users safer based on effective road safety management. So, join our unwavering vision and commitment to zero deaths and serious injuries. Visit www.nisc.org.na to learn more. Do the right thing and save lives.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
So not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give...
Yes, you are listening to Early Morning Scoop with me, David Shombe. We are looking at economic affairs. We are looking at economic affairs, issues which are affecting our bread and butter. And also looking at, we are looking at the news of more than 600 people died annually due to, you know, drowning or meeting unfortunate, you know, events on their way to leave Africa, particularly illegal migrants who are trying to find better opportunities. We're just looking at the context of around 27 migrants who died, including the newborn baby, who drowned near the island of Italy, trying to find better opportunities. And we are looking at what are some of the pushing factors. Pushing factors is economic, can be economic instability, particularly countries such as Libya, where a lot of people are living. So a bit of Ethiopia, and also northern part of Africa there, and also in Namibia, people are also living. Some of them, they become victim of human trafficking. Some of them, they become become drunk mules, and we have seen this thing. We have seen this thing when our beautiful lady was caught at O.R. Tambo there with stomach full of trunks and you're asking yourself, why this is happening? Why is such a very beautiful lady end up doing these things? Is this really what she wants, or is it just a situation? People want iPhones, people want better houses, but the situation on the ground is not conducive. Who is managing our resources, and how can we move from this? So those are some of the things that we really need to look at. And yeah, from there, let us look at Trump and also Putin. It was indicated that Putin has tested or is planning or set to test a nuclear capable cruise missile ahead of Trump's meeting, because you know there are arrangements which are going on, particularly when there's an arrangement of meeting of Trump and also Putin in Alaska. There, Alaska is one of the, it's part of the US. In Alaska there, they are trying to meet. However, before that meeting, which days are still not yet there, but there are arrangements and Putin agreed, it was indicated that there are new development, particularly in the area of Russia, where they are testing a cruise missile. Not only a cruise missile, but a missile with nuclear capabilities, nuclear warhead, just to test it. But a lot of analysts are also asking to say, why is Putin doing this? It's one of the strategy, because one of the things which is stated is that what he communicated earlier is that in terms of some of these capable nuclear cruise missiles, they have the capability to strike anywhere in the world and can penetrate any air defense system. Don't know whether that is it's a psychological warfare, is showing of strength, or is trying to scare Donald Trump. But that is what is happening. That is what is happening. That is Russia for you. And at the front of Ukraine, Ukraine is losing the battle. Ukraine is losing the battle. It's losing the ground. Every year, every day is losing the ground. And America is no more interested in funding, or in continue funding the war in Ukraine. That is why some of these negotiations have to build up some of these negotiations. And also Putin's also willing to bring this war to an end. But those are some of the things that we need to look at. But you know, it's not really very clear if is what it is, because with global politics and politics which affect global affairs, so it's very difficult to predict. Very difficult to predict. But those are some of the moves, and so it's very important. So it's very important to look at this news.
Trump has set the stage with strong words, but Putin has gone a step ahead. He is preparing to test a lethal nuclear missile. It's not official yet, but Western analysts say it will happen later this week, possibly around the summit. And how do they know that? Thanks to satellite images. Pictures show a heavy build-up near a Russian test site. It's called Pankovo. It's located on an island north of Russia's mainland. You can see ships, aircraft, and equipment. All of it suggests a looming test of a lethal cruise missile called the Burevestnik. It's nuclear-armed and nuclear-powered. NATO calls it Skyfall. Putin has been all praise of this missile. He says it can evade all existing and future defense systems, maybe even Trump's Golden Dome. But the story here is not the capabilities. The story is the timing. Yes, such tests are scheduled months in advance, but Putin could have postponed it. He did not, because he wants to send a message. Let's unpack what that message is. Putin is heading to Alaska with momentum. His troops are making progress across the front line. Meanwhile, Ukraine is struggling. They are low on soldiers and weapons. So there's no reason for Putin to make concessions. If anything, he can double down now. At the same time, he is humoring Donald Trump, playing to his ego. We saw an example of that today. Putin held a meeting of his top advisors. In that meeting, he praised Trump's intentions.
I will tell you about the stage we are at with the current American administration, which, as everyone knows, is making, in my opinion, quite energetic and sincere efforts to stop the hostilities, stop the crisis, and reach agreements that are of interest to all parties involved in this conflict, in order to create long-term conditions for peace both between our countries and in Europe and in the world.
Putin says Trump is working for peace, not just in Ukraine, but in the whole world. I'm sure Trump will enjoy that praise from Putin. In the past, he's shown a knack for handling President Trump. He gave you an example from 2018 that was one instance of Trump being soft on Russia. We saw another yesterday. Trump was asked about a recent hack into the U.S. court system. American agencies feel Russia could be behind it. But listen to Trump's response.
There's a new reporting that the Russians have hacked into some computer systems that manage U.S. federal court documents. I wonder if you've seen this reporting and if you plan to bring it up with Putin when you see him later in the week.
I guess I could. Are you surprised? You know, he's surprised. They hack in. That's what they do. They're good at it. We're good at it. We're actually better at it. But no, I have heard about it. I've heard about it.
So Putin has two things going for him. First is the ground advantage. The second is a good track record. He is known to be a tough negotiator, and he's had success against Donald Trump. But does he have a wish list in Alaska? I'm sure he does. Best case scenario, Trump agrees with him. He signs away eastern Ukraine to Russia. He cuts off military aid and he freezes the conflict. That would give Russia time to regroup. Plus, it would give them new launch pads in eastern Ukraine. So that's the ideal scenario for Putin. But let's face it, even Trump is not that naive. He will push Putin to make some concessions, maybe a ceasefire in the air, meaning no aerial attacks or bombing, or maybe a prisoner swap, or maybe a deal to release.
Yes, that is what's happening. That is what's happening, especially at the global affairs, especially at the global affairs between Russia and also the U.S. It's indicated that I know there's a planned meeting between Putin and also Donald Trump, and maybe, you know, most of you have questions to say, how come these leaders end up meeting? Are these people not enemies? But what you need to understand is that, you know, this is the world of the civilized people. It's the world of the civilized people. Putin is also not naive, and also Donald Trump is also not naive. Whether we have war or we do not have war, leaders always get time to meet, and you're asking yourself maybe a lot of questions to say, are there not going to be any commotions? Are they not going to shoot each other? This is the world of the civilized people. They know diplomacy at the highest level. They know how the host country is going to deal with that security. And they are trying to solve our world problems. And a lot of people may not be interested. You can criticize Trump wherever you want. You can criticize Putin. But some of these people, they have more power than you. And whatever they do, you must be concerned. You must be concerned. Yes, we are a sovereign state, but we must be concerned with what global power players are doing. And it can affect your economy. It can affect your development. It can also affect your future. So they are going to meet. And ahead of that, Putin is testing nuclear-capable missile. And people are asking, is it a show-off? Or it's part of the plan. It's part of the plan of negotiations. And looking at Ukraine, Ukraine is losing ground every day. It's losing ground every day. It's running out of ammo. It's also running out of soldiers. And this meeting would define the fate of Ukraine. And it's also up to us to see. It's also up to us to see, is the end of war going to improve our life? Because remember, when the war started in 2023, the war started in 2022, in 2023, there was a delegation from Africa led by Ramaphosa to go to, they went via the war zone, they went to Ukraine, and also spoke with leaders about how to make peace, even went to Putin, because they know that Mr. Putin, please, can you open the trade road, because we are, there is a less supply of wheat in Africa, we are going to suffer. So, and also lesson to learn from what is happening, especially when it's coming to new development in the world. So, let's go to a commercial break. Then we look at the domestic affairs, and we also look at the review for the week. The review for the week. What did we look at? What are some of the main points that our speaker spoke about? And building up to next week, how are we going to look at the way you know, economy is moving in Namibia? What lesson have we learned? And you also need to ask ourselves questions, because we're giving you news is a very good thing. Analyzing issues is a very good thing. But, you know, some people, sometimes story is very important for us to go down into those news and go deep into them and say, this is the essay. This is the conclusion. These are some of the recommendations. What can we get from this? What can we get from this? As we get deep into the conversation, it's also very important for you. It's also very important for you to contribute to the conversation. It's also very important for you to contribute to the conversation, because this is not one directed conversation. Like I'm always saying, it could be what we are discussing here. You have practical experience on it. You have done more research on it. You even wrote books about it. Or you have more knowledge on that. That's why the aim of this conversational program is for us to educate ourselves. It's for us to educate ourselves, to give ourselves better views of the world, better views of the economic operations, and also better views of our financial system, and better views of our economic game plan, that is our economic policy, and how we should navigate through that. Those are some of the things that we look at. So let's go to a commercial break. Then we look at what is happening domestically, and we look at our review, and also some of the highlights and main points of the week. Because this week, the discussion, we discuss about International Youth Day, discuss about AI, Namibia AI report. We also discussed about the executive assistant, the values of executive assistants, and we spoke about oil and gas summit. And it's also very important. It's also very important why we are here. It's also very important to note that our e-paper is out. Our e-paper is out, and it's up to you. Up to you. Make that good choice of downloading the Villager newspaper and update yourself what is happening locally and internationally when it's coming to trade. The e-paper is out. There is a lot of highlights, and I think Michael Shoveri will come and also assist you, take you through that. But it's always very important for you to go and look at that. Look at issues of green scheme, look at issues of policies, look at issues of oil, look at issues of investment, look at issues of tourism, look at issues of SADC, and also look at issues of elections. And you don't want to miss it. You don't want to miss it, because when you miss it, you miss a lot in terms of direction, in terms of where we are going as a country, and also where we are. So let's go to a commercial break. Then we look at domestic affairs.
Want to know about Namibia's latest business and economic news? Then look no further than the Villager newspaper. The Villager is an e-paper that is published every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for free, directly to your phone or computer. To become a subscriber, simply send a WhatsApp message with your number and email address to 081-200-4144. Be sure to save the phone number as a contact. The Villager, wherever you are.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Great news! Impa just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of Impa? Get all exclusive features for just 36 Namibian dollars a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything Impa has to offer at an unbeatable price. Impa, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of failure.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
So not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person that does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Yes, we are continuing with Early Morning Scoop. We are continuing with Early Morning Scoop. And so it's very important to look at domestic affairs. Domestic affairs, it was indicated that, our president, Dr. Netumbo Nandi-Ndaitwah, has conferred state of national hero status to the late former chief of defense, Mr. Salome Jesus Hawara, and is also granting him a state funeral. Granting him a state funeral. Mr. Hawara is one of the decorated soldiers in the Namibian liberation struggle. He's one of the decorated soldiers and also military leader who died at the age of 89. And he was conferred a state funeral. And that is one of the news that we can give you, particularly when it's coming to domestic affairs. And also, the question that we need to ask ourselves is also that there was a point of government gave a directive to put a little bit of a pause, particularly when it's coming to state funerals and all the arrangements. There was a communication like that, especially when it's coming to save of the resources. But it's also a question that we need to ask, to say to what extent was government, how serious was the government when it's coming to putting a cap, or when it's coming to putting a pause on state funerals, and also funerals which are sponsored by the state. Because remember, you can still give an honor to a military hero, because there's also a military funeral. And you have state funerals. They are different. But it's a question that we need to ask ourselves. And also, it's also a question that we need to look at, to say, when a communication is given, to how clear was that communication? Well, this is a special occasion. How clear was that communication to say, no, I'm going to put a cap on these state funerals because we need to save the economy and all these things until next year? Then something have happened. Unfortunate military general died, war hero. Then boom. Because I'm not questioning the credibility of being given a state funeral. I'm questioning the authenticity of the communication. And that is something which is very important. Something which is very important because we need to draw lines to say when something is said, is it said with clarity? Or we misquote you? When something is said, is it said with clarity? Would we have confidence in that communication? Or is it vague? Because if we are not very careful enough, let us put it broader way. Let us put it in a broader perspective to say communication are communication, but it's not good to communicate for the sake of communicating. It's very good to communicate and also try to at least build something on that. Do not just to say, but build something on that. So that is one of the things that it's very important to look at. So it's also very important to honor our words, especially me and you. It's very important to honor our word because honoring of words is very crucial because that is where trust is being built. So yeah, that is what is happening. That is what is happening. And particularly when it's coming to the domestic affairs, that is what's happening. And I think a lot of liberation heroes are expected, particularly from around the neighboring countries of Namibia, from Zimbabwe, Angola, South Africa there. I think they are expected to come and attend the funeral because the late Jesus was not just a soldier, but he was a well-known commander. And a lot of influence during the liberation struggle of Namibia, which gave him a lot of praise and also criticism, particularly when it's coming to handling of war. But we are expecting a lot of, particularly former MK, not MK the party, but, you know, MK the military wing, former MK veterans. We are expecting them, and we are expecting a lot of people to attend this funeral. And it's also something that we need to observe because history is very important. History is very important, and know who is who and also who contributed to what extent and also who are your friends and who are your allies and what do we need to move forward, because without political history, economic history will not be possible and practical economic policy will not be possible. Because as we are always indicating, politics and the economy, those are, that is unbreakable relationship that you can have. And if you have one which is not doing well, it will directly affect the other. It will directly, you know, affect others. And yeah, I think before we go to the review for today, the other thing that we need to look at is also maybe the communication from Bank of Namibia. Particularly yesterday when the governor of Bank of Namibia gave a presentation, and he also touched on the economic outlook and also touched on the impact of U.S. tariffs, the impact of U.S. tariffs on non-Namibian economy. And he gave a very strong and content-based presentation, and I think, and I'm encouraging you to go and watch, because one of the things that they stated is that when it's coming to the direct trade between Namibia and the US, the 15% tariff will not directly impact the economy of Namibia, because some of the main trades like uranium, some of the main trades like uranium, we give an exception, and USA is not our main trade partner. It's not our main trading partner, because some of our main trading partners, we know them, is South Africa, China, and the EU. US is not our main trading partner, and we export less than 5%. Of our export to the US. And he said when it's coming to 15% tariff, it's not going to be impacted. However, he indicated that South Africa being our training partner, and these are some of the things that we are discussing. South Africa being our training partner, there will be impact on the Namibian economy, especially when South Africa is standing as 30%. South Africa is standing as 30%. Tariffs when they are exporting to the US. And South Africa being also having US as its main trading partner, where there are more than 500 companies. US with interest in South Africa, in where South Africa is trading with the US. It's going to indirectly impacting us, because if your friend is wounded and is the one who used to hold your hands, you are also wounded indirectly. If somebody who is a breadwinner is not feeling well, the economy of the house is also not feeling well. That is how South Africa is going to impact us. And what did Bank of Namibia do? And I was very happy, because understanding the critical affairs of the role of Bank of Namibia can also give you sometimes peace to say, no. You know, Bank of Namibia made a critical assessment on the impact of this, and also gave recommendations already, particularly to make sure that this impact will not worsen the Namibian economy, and who is able to respond to this recommendation, particularly to the commercial banks, because Bank of Namibia can give a directive to say, reduce your borrowing interest.
Are you eligible to vote but not yet a registered voter? Your time is now. Electoral Commission of Namibia invites all qualified citizens to take part in the supplementary registration of voters, which takes place from the 4th until the 19th of August 2025. These include those who turned 18 years after the previous registration of voters, all eligible Namibian citizens who are not yet in possession of a valid voter's card, citizens who have changed residence from one constituency or local authority to a different constituency or local authority. Democracy is not a spectator sport, it's all about taking part. Get involved. Step up for your right. Register to vote.
Yes, and one of the things that we also need to look at is that I think Bank of Namibia is also making some bold moves, especially when it's coming to protecting the economy, because they are looking at buying gold reserves. It's buying gold to make sure that they back Namibian currency with gold. Big Namibian currency with gold, because in the world of economic fluctuation, in the world where the economy is unstable, in the world where you don't know who's going to be your trading partner in the next 5 years, you need to make sure that you protect your economy. That's why currently in Namibia we do not have gold reserves, though we are making gold, and the governor of Bank of Namibia stated that they are already in communication with gold mines in Namibia to make up arrangements on how can the bank buy gold. And this gold is not going to be bought for sale. It's going to be bought to stabilize the economy. Because remember, money attached to nothing is a piece of paper. Money attached to nothing is a piece of paper. Just a paper, because money is what value you put into that. If you have to put it in that way, money is the value that you have to put into that. But money attached to nothing is just a piece of paper. That's why when for example Zimbabwe was hit by sanctions, and the economy could not survive, their bank started printing money. And when you started printing money in large amount, money become useless. Because that's why, when I was a kid, I was just saying, no, why people are struggling? Why can't the the government just spend a lot of money. Everyone can have his own money. Then we are buying our things. That's how short-sighted we were when we were young. Because money is really nothing when it's not attached to any value. That's why, if you don't protect your economy, your money will lose value. So that's why the Bank of Namibia come up with a strategy to say, let us back our money with gold. Not just gold, but pure gold. They are in communication with, Bito Gold and also other local gold mines, to acquire gold from there. And also to purify that gold, up to 99%. Because it's one thing to have gold, and it's also the other thing to have the quality of gold, which is pure. And when you have quality of gold, which is pure, and the governor made it very clear to say, gold is an asset that cannot really change. The economy can fluctuate. But if the amount of money that you have is equivalent to the quality of gold that you have, you can still have stability in your economy. Because at the center of the economy are stronger commodities and assets. Because in a situation where people lose money, in a situation where money loses value, there are always those standing assets, there are always those standing minerals that you cannot, that are non-negotiable, that are still useful. Because if money is not useful, there is something that is still useful. Because just think about this. Money is not really what we need. We need something that is being bought by that money. Money is just an enabler. Yeah, that's why I think with the Bank of Namibia making that move, I think it's one of the moves that a lot of economists have been expecting. And I also remember one of the questions that Kanjengo used to ask about gold reserves and also the issue of backing our finance with gold. And those are some of the development in our economy. Those are some of the development in our economy. And what is very interesting is, and so let me ask questions. What is very interesting, especially what happened yesterday, is that, you know, when the governor of Bank of Namibia gave a presentation regarding the economic outlook, the domestic outlook, he said, no, you know, in April we gave a prediction that our economy is going to grow. We gave that prediction, but for now, due to the unforeseen circumstances, particularly external tariffs and all the changes, our economy, looking at August domestic economic outlook, our economy is growing at a decreasing rate below 3.7%. We are growing at a decreasing rate. It's like, let me say that there are 20 people in the class, 5 of them, they failed the first semester. And I think it's not the right example to give, but economists will try to explain to you, to say if you are growing at a decreasing rate, what does it mean? Maybe it's a better way of explaining it to say, last year, 2024, economy grew with 3.7, and this year we are at 3.5, we are below 3.7, we are growing, but we are below 3.7. And the other thing, what I stated, that is only that is the economy is expected to pick up in 2026. Now, that is your news. It's expected to pick up in 2026. Now, that is your good news. It's your good news. Why? It's your good news if it happened. Because those are projections. Anything can also happen, then nothing will happen. Then where are you going to find yourself? You are going to find yourself in 2030. And what are we going to do if you find yourself in 2030? With what is projected, not what happened, life has to continue. That's why yesterday I was speaking about finding an alternative way of doing things, because don't stick on the plan. Don't just say, I'm going to do my investment, the economy will grow with 10%, I'm going to do my investment here. I'm waiting for that opportunity. I'm waiting for investors and all those things. Anything can happen. The projections are just projections. Those are predictions and estimations. And as we do not have control of the supply and demand at the global affairs, we have what we can control. But what can we do? So as an ordinary citizen, and there's also something which I think I should speak about, particularly when it's coming to Datasphere. Datasphere is a new system that can allow anybody to access, Bank of Namibia data. If you are a researcher, if you are an economist, if you are a student of development, try to find those spaces. Datasphere, start to find those spaces, because that is where you can get your updates. Look at the website of these banks and try to see how can you get access to this information. Because when you get access to this information, it's easier for you to enter a conversation, and it's also easier for you to make factual content-based contribution, and also to make decisions. So, dear listeners, you can engage us in the studio before you go to the highlights for the week. You can engage us in the studio at 083-288-401. You can ask your questions, give your contribution, and also constructive criticism. Because remember, this is a platform where we can educate one another. This is not David Shombe's platform. It's not only Eagle FM platform, because Eagle FM is the people, and the people are Eagle FM. So it's very important to make sure that this is your platform. And the fact that we are here discussing is because we have a good intention of at least upgrading our state, of at least upgrading our country, and also of being optimistic about the future. So let's look at the commercial break, then we can move ahead.
Want to know about Namibia's latest business and economic news? Then look no further than the Villager newspaper. The Villager is an e-paper that is published every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for free, directly to your phone or computer. To become a subscriber, simply send a WhatsApp message with your number and email address to 081-200-4144. Be sure to save the phone number as a contact. The Villager, wherever you are.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Great news! Impa just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of Impa? Get all exclusive features for just 36 Namibian dollars a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything Imba has to offer at an unbeatable price. Imba, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without...
Yes, we are continuing with Early Morning Scoop with me, David Shombe. And as I indicated to you, so it's very important to go deep down in the conversations that we have, that we had in the course of the week, and also try to look what is that one thing that we have learned from the conversation that we have? What is that thing that we learned from the economic conversations that we have? Let us start with International Youth Day. Namibia is one of the countries in Southern Africa with a youthful population, and also with a total population of around 3 million people. And one of the critical situations, or one of the critical elements that have been on the table for a very long time, is youth challenges, not only youth unemployment, but youth challenges. Because young people, they become victims of alcohol and drug abuse. They become victim of prostitution, victims of, you know, drug trafficking and also, human trafficking. Majority of educated young professionals, majority of educated young people, rather, are not able to access, you know, or to become participate in the mainstream economy. Not able to have jobs. Financial inclusion has been a nightmare, especially to the young people who are not bankable and do not have collaterals. Now, let's forget about communications and developments about what need to be done. In on Monday and Wednesday, on Monday and Tuesday, it was 2 days following each other from National Youth Day to International Youth Day, where young people sit down and sit and discuss about their issues. What is the future of a Namibian young person? What is the commonality of Namibian young people? Where can they meet? And also, what can they do better? All the statistics are given. All the statistics are given. The problem is known where the problems are. And there was a debate about the youth fund. It's more than 200 million Namibian dollars which are on the table. Debates about youth funds. How can young people access these youth funds? How is this youth fund going to be utilized? It's only dishing out money, or their mechanism how to monitor the impact of this youth fund. And also, on top of that, there was a question which I have asked to say, okay, everything is being done. Everything is, we criticize, we ask everybody, what is that one thing that young people of Namibia, we are not doing very well? Because economic participation, sometimes speaking with much respect, you can't, you can take a donkey to a well to drink, but you cannot force a donkey to drink. You cannot put water into a donkey's mouth. That is an expression of saying, sometimes we get what they want as an opportunity, but we need to move from where we are. You know, sometimes we need to move from where we are. Then the question I ask to say, what is that young people that we are not doing right also? Because those are some of the questions that I need to ask myself. What is that thing which I'm not doing right to be a participant in the mainstream economy? What is that me and my friends are not doing right to make sure that I contribute positively, or I assist in solving the challenges that the young people are also facing? Because believe me, I've been talking about this thing to say the strategy is good, the plan is very good, but do you understand what is on the table? Do you understand the plan? Do you understand what is NDPC? What is our national plan? If we understand what is our national plan, yes. Do we understand what is our regional plan about young people? Or do we have a regional plan even? Okay, if you understand our regional plan, what is our constituency plan on young people? Is your councillor only up and down, or your councillor also understand that there is a portion that we critically need to look at? Or he or she is just busy giving announcements on the radio. What is our plan at that level? And also, what is our plan about young people at the local authority level? Because go to any local authority, any village council, there is always some section or division regarding youth development, youth empowerment, something. But the question is, how much money is allocated to that, and how is that money being used? That is the question we need to ask ourselves. That's a question you need to ask ourselves. Because I remember there was a time, I think it's 2021, we went to, there was a city of Windhoek, stakeholders engagement. Then I asked, say, no, you guys, you have this capital budget. It's a very big budget of millions of dollars. Then you have a youth sections. You also have a youth policy. Then I ask a question to say, what is the budget that you allocate to youth in the city of Windhoek? You say, no. Yes, I know other services are very important and they also part and youth are also benefiting from that. But what is the allocation that you have direct to the young people? You say, no, understandable. Somebody asked me understandable amount and you can call me and we discuss about this. Understandable amount. I say, no, but how much are you spending on that? There's no clear explanation. There's no clear explanation to say this is what is going to the youth division. Maybe it's getting what is left. But are we very serious about that? Now let's finish about that now. What can I do as a young person? Can I just sleep at home, buy data, and start becoming a TikTok politician, or some people they call it a keyboard hero? Or there are some of the things or responsibility which I need to do. And in a very short answer, that was, you know, this was what Simon has to say, because as you understand, my conversation with Handula, this is what he has to say, particularly when, what is that young people are not doing well, and what can they do better?
There is always this thing of government, the private sector, and all these things, but in your view and through your experience, what is that thing that young people, we are also not doing right? Because we can't just say everything must be done to us. There are also things that we are not doing right. If somebody has to ask you to say, what are some of the things that Namibian young people are also not doing right, or they need to work on, and for us to see and also to solve our issues that we have so much. You spoke about issues of suicide, issues of criminal activities, issues of unemployment, issues of lack of participation, either politics and lack of interest. Because just before you come in, when you look at events like Kasivai, for example, that is one of the most beautiful events that all the young people go there and enjoy themselves. But when you talk about events such as events which we are discussing investment, events which are discussing opportunity, you only see two or three. Even stakeholders engagement with local authorities. I see the other day our mayor of City of Windhoek was complaining to say, no, guys, you are not showing up. But now, maybe let us get a picture to say, where are we also missing the point, especially as young people from Namibia?
Thank you very much for the question. The first thing of young people is that we compete in terms of in terms of engaging. And I always tell young people that like-minded talents should never compete, but they should always amplify. Mm-hmm. So young people, we should always amplify like-minded talents. We do not want to uplift each other. Let me give you an example in the music industry. You will see that when the young artist comes up and is there at the top, and she will ask another upcoming artist 30,000 just to future, because they don't want to take it. Won't kill you to just pull up another brother on the national stage. Look at how long has the Caribbean artists have been shining. I don't want to mention names until they've retired from the youth. But how many young people have they pulled out? We have our local artists that has been coming, upcoming artists for the past 10 years, but we have big artists in Namibia that are killing the stages, but they're not even pulling up this. Secondly, we are ignorance. Mm. Ignorance is the biggest thing that we have as young people. We have misplaced priority. If you arrange a meeting right now, young people do not want to come. Secondly, young people, we don't want to read. We have NDP6, we have all sustainable,
yeah.
We have all these things, but you see a young person attending a meeting and raising their hands, we have missed priorities. That's why young people, and then lastly also young people, we need to do something.
Mm.
You cannot just, it's not about what the government can do for us. What can we do for the government?
Mm-hmm.
You know, David, sometimes as a young person, you might not have the resources to provide a service in your community, but you can do a saving, you can become up with data, and then you can recommend it to
Yes, that was one of the highlights. Number one is that we do not want to uplift each other. How many of us young people want other young people to succeed? It's a behavioral thing. How many of us are willing to cooperate with other people? Because you find somebody who has a very good idea, but you only have complementing ideas so you can come up with a project. But how many of you, just to be honest with yourself, you don't even need to tell me, just be honest with yourself, how many of you want other people to succeed, or you want to succeed with other people? Because what I have seen, a person rather fail than succeeding by working together with another young person. That's what I have seen. So how many of us are willing to uplift each other? I gave an example of the music industry. One of the most competitive music industry. We have seen what's happening to our young musician. I don't want to mention names because we create a lot of unnecessary enemies. But we have seen to say a young person came into the music industry. That is art and culture. He's trying to make money, trying to get a foundation. But this space, for this person to move forward, you need an audience. You need an audience. But how are you getting audience? You are only getting audience if you are working with somebody that is already well known. But these guys are saying, no. If you want to work with me, you want me to feature in your music, maybe also assist you with some beats, you have to put a 30,000 on the table. But it's a young person, he want to succeed or she want to succeed, then they end up out of the game. Look, what happened to Linda, I believe. But now she came back. And it's a very good thing. How many of them did not see the light anymore? Because these are the things that we need to look at, because in most cases you find young people who have succeeded, but pulling up others is a very difficult thing. A good example of what happened to our Linda. Linda was one of the most shining ladies. I think at that time she was just in grade 10. When that music came out, I believe, and it made a lot of money. Did she eat the money? Did she manage that money? What happened? What about others? Now she's back. I know she's going to be a big thing in the next 10 years or so. She's back. How many of them who did not come back because they were not assisted by other young people again? Because the question here is to say, what is that we are not doing right? Is it now the right time to say we need to collaborate with each other? Not only in music, in business, even at university. You know, sometimes we fail at university not because we really want to fail, just because we are not working with others. You only know calculus, but you don't know statistics. Or you only know calculus, but you don't know financial mathematics, for example. Then somebody who have a complementary knowledge, you don't want to work with a person because of unnecessary beef, or just don't want to work with each other. Lack of collaboration and also uplifting each other. I think that is something that we don't need somebody to come up with a policy to say we are coming up with a policy of collaboration or a policy of youth to uplift each other. Because otherwise we end up on standing on policies. But these are things that we need to educate ourselves as we go, to say I'm not losing anything to assist the person to move forward, because if this person move forward, we are also able to pull me up. That is number one. The other thing is also what was mentioned, is that we are ignorant and we do not want to read. We don't want you to read literature. We don't want you to read, fictions. We don't want you to feed your mind with a lot of things. We just want you to have an understanding to say, this is how you read the report. This is how you read the policy. This is how you at least analyze a budget. Not even read the whole budget. Look, even go to the budget and look at what is the investment in education, what is the investment in youth, what is the investment in what are the projections of banks, and also how you can feature, or how do you fill a business form, for example? How do you apply for a loan? How do you do a business presentation? Just reading. That's one thing that is not me. It's our fellow young person who said, no, we don't want to read, we are a bit ignorant. They send NDP6. There's a full version of NDP6 that will bore you maybe. But there's a simplified one, which is talking about main points. Maybe just reading about that and see. Because sometimes for a person to trust to, a person must also know that at least you are not only a tabula rasa. You don't only just have empty head. But at least you have something in your mind. You don't need to know everything. And there's a good point that my colleague Eleni likes saying to say, at least it's very important to have knowledge about almost anything. Know something about it. Almost anything. Have a little knowledge of a certain topic. Because that will assist you when you are meeting people. That will also assist you when you are connecting to people. Because it's disappointing for somebody to come and take a conversation. Then somebody talk about NDP6 and a person asks, what kind of car is that? Is it the latest car? Or is it a gin? At least come closer to an answer. Then a person will be able to assist you. Or even asking to say, when was it passed? It's even better to say, you know what NDP6 is. But when somebody say, no, NDP6, then you're asking, is it a car? Or is it a new machine? Or is it a laptop? It means that we lack understanding and we also need to read and also upgrade ourselves and enter into real conversations. And the other thing that which was mentioned is that, is doing something. Not for the sake of money, for the sake of contributing something to the community. Help elders. You studied education, you studied finance. Go to a kindergarten and assist maybe for 2 or 3 days. You can go to a school and say, no, I want to volunteer, I want to assist these kids with at least mathematics. Because when you are doing that, you're also upgrading yourself. Do something so that people will also recognize you. Maybe if they have a certain offer to give you, or maybe that is where you are going to meet people of the same interest. Then instead of becoming a teacher of mathematics, you become a financial advisor one day, or become a statistician. So those are where some of the points that are highlights of the week, particularly when it's coming to the topic of youth. Of youth development and also celebration of International Youth Day. And the other discussion that we had this week was more on executive assistants and also secretaries and receptionists, their roles in organizations. What is the value of these people in organizations? How should we build confidence in permanent assistants? How should we build confidence and how should we also build a body that is able to give them capacity and also ability to do their job effectively? Because you know why? The success of that director, that executive, that minister, that senior official who has a personal assistant that have a secretary, that success depends on the effectiveness of that PA, on the communication of that PA, on how fast that PA is, or what critical thinking skill that PA has, because they manage crisis, they are doing logistics, they are doing arrangements, they are passing communications, and they are dealing with first-hand communication with guests. They are building relationships. Some of them are coming up with presentations and setting up the boardroom before you guys come in with your suits. They are setting up the boardroom and they are always there. Then the question that was asked is to say, how can we build this profession? How can we also give people opportunity to have confidence in their work? And I've asked questions especially to Ms. Mara Matomora, who is the founder of a National Secretary's Day. So what can they do to make sure that at least they upgrade themselves and they also have confidence, because the success of organizations, the success of ministries depends not entirely on the effectiveness of the head of that institution, but most importantly, or equally important, the effectiveness of those who are working behind the scenes. They are in the engine of the institutions, but how can we build confidence in them? So, I have to ask Ms. Matomala to give me a view, and that's what she has to say. Yes. And it's also very important to look at what she has to say, particularly when I ask her regarding what need to be done.
Very hard, but they are not valued. They are just saying, no, it's my PA, it's my secretary. No, that one is not part of the discussion. But it's the person who even made the presentation that you guys are discussing about and all those things. But what message do we have to them, especially those who have been there for a long time? And they think that they are just like that. They are just assisting, and that is end of the world.
Yeah, I think there are two ways to your question.
Yeah.
The other one is actually the personal assistant or executive assistant is working for a CEO or an executive. Mm. Let's say an executive.
Mm, 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 mm. But
ultimate employer is the organization.
Mm, 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 mm.
So to see how all the executive is performing, is, you know, he's on time, he's at meetings, he's at home, he's where, he's at the soccer. It's because someone is managing that channel. So I think personal assistants and secretaries and receptionists alike and administrator, they need to give themselves applause. You know, they need to actually give themselves credit.
Mm-hmm.
Because boss is managing to be at the event, or the minister can be at, in Katima, this weekend on a Saturday, and then on Monday in Hobabes, and then we look again on Tuesday.
Mm.
Really, that really takes a lot of work. And for people that are preparing and organizing those logistics behind that person, they need to give themselves a pat on the back. That's a lot of work. And then at the same time, you have to remember the organization that employs you. That person can actually go away, and then another person comes, and you'll have a different experience with that person.
Mm-hmm.
But you remember the values and principles of an organization that you work for. Whether you are a secretary, or whether you are a PA, or whether you are called an administrator, or you are called, receptionist. You are very important to that organization, and that is what is important.
Mm.
So that we have to remember. That's why we actually invite this organization to see the value and place the value or recognition to those people, so they can actually send them to celebrate, to say, no, go and enjoy with your colleagues, go and sit with your colleagues, so you can speak about how you do things in the government office, like, or how you do something, you do a press release in a private sector, like MTC or another organization, like Nedbank.
Mm-hmm.
It's different from somebody that works. So we want this type of gathering to actually more of interaction, more of confidence, more, to rub off on each other, to say, this person works for this MD or for this minister, and then they do ABCD. So that.
Yeah, that is, was a highlight, particularly when it's coming to the necessity, the value, the importance, those who assist the big guys, those who assist the executive, those who assist the ministers, those who assist the deputy minister, those who assist the executive directors, those who assist directors, even deputy directors, those secretaries. It was indicated that they matter, and it's also important for them to sit down and discuss how they can improve the way they do things, because the effectiveness of the public sector does not necessarily or entirely, it depends on the people that we see but those who are working behind the scenes, those unsung heroes, and it's happened everywhere. Even a security guard, he may look like he's not useful, or she may look like she's not useful until the time you get into trouble. When everyone is going under the table, where is the security? Even the cleaner, it can't work without, because an organization, an institution, is people working together, it's people connected together. And I remember one day, and it was an embarrassing moment. I went to, I think it's NASFAF. I was stressed, man. My documents were not in order. I went to clarify my documents. Then when I went through that door, I found one cleaner. Ma'am, I did not even greet her. I just moved on top. Then I got lost and I have to come and say, no, ma'am, you know, I'm looking for, sir, for the office of, you know, the assistant of what. And I said, no, but my brother did not greet me. I said, no, I'm very sorry. And I was so embarrassed, but I realized that everyone is important. It depends on how you look at it. Everyone is very important. So let's take the caller. Hello.
Mr. Sombe.
Yes, sir. How are you?
Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Sometimes we just wait for the people to call in, but they are not calling in.
No, it's you. It's like somebody saying there are no people in a taxi. I'm waiting for people, but it's you.
Oh, I see much. So, otherwise, how are you?
No, I'm well. How are you doing?
Just be taking up because it's a conversation.
You know, the thing is that everybody is listening. Not everybody is willing to call. When you meet them in the street, when they start commenting, you see that they are following, and you also see that they are on the
app. They need to be so that they can give some motivation.
Yeah.
Some courage.
Yeah.
And then, you know, and especially these things that we're talking about.
Yeah.
Youth issues, funding, problems that are affecting the youth.
Mm.
And all these things, they need to come. Like you are talking about business, what is it, capital budget, those other institutions that have got these things.
Yeah.
They're supposed to be now asking, how do we go there? How do we access these things, all these things?
Mm-hmm.
Because the biggest problem, challenge is the information that people do not have sometimes. So when they have it now, how do they utilize it, the information?
Mm.
People start to be engaging these things, man.
Yeah, no,
I don't know why, is it the fear or is it the, it's just that there's no interest.
No, in interest is there. No, we respect them, but we want them to speak also. But interest is there. We see that they are all listening and they don't miss getting connected to the app also. But I think, it will change with time. You know, it requires time. Sometimes it's, sometimes people are also tired of maybe of speaking. They want, to see what will happen, but they are waiting for you actually, and we are always very happy.
Yes,
so what is your view?
Yeah, my view on this issue of people crossing to Europe and for better thinking of better opportunity.
Mm.
No, I was in the vehicle when you were talking.
Okay.
And then now people say, but the opportunities are also here. Why do you have to take risk and go their side? And the person even mentioned that, yeah, they go there and cut the, what, a graduate cutting the pigs.
No, they are trimming them. They say a lot. They say even a lot of things that we don't even want to speak about on air, but
it's true.
Yeah.
I don't even want to mention those things because of them they told me personally, yeah, this is what we have experienced, this is what we have experienced. And it's so horrible, you cannot even listen to that story.
Two times.
No, you weep, you fall into, you know, you cry.
You faint.
So, yeah. But then now we are having some people here farm, some people, some work.
You
can volunteer yourself as a group. And then you now, I don't know, then you approach municipality or any other institution. This is what you are doing. We have identified a need there, and we want to solve that problem. And here we have got to volunteer our skills. And then we get some bags from there to put your riots or whatever kind of equipment, implements that you can get. Well, when are we going to get that spirit revived?
I think it requires us to communicate and also requires us to show some actions. But there are those few who are doing, but not all of them.
Yeah. But we want more of them to join. So keep on going. So I think, like you said, it takes time. Maybe they will still come in where you can now see a lot of voices of the young ones, of the elders, whoever.
Yeah.
The contribution, having conversation that can really result into tangible results.
Yeah, it's true, because when we meet them, we are having a very tough conversation. Say, no, I like the conversation that we're having on radio, but why are you not calling? When we meet them in the street, that is what they say. But that is something that we need to look at. I think, maybe they develop a culture of listening or just fear of participation. But the fact that the communication is there, that is what we need, because what we need is actions and also see difference and also communicating.
I think they will come.
Yes.
Let's not be discouraged. They will still come.
Yes, yes.
Okay, my brother. Thank you very much, my son.
All right. Thank you, uncle, and appreciate that.
Thank you very much. Welcome.
All right. Yes, dear listeners, thank you very much for listening to Early Morning Scoop with me, David Shombe, and we have around 0 seconds before we come to the end of our conversation, and I'll give you, I'll leave in the good hands of Michael Shoveri with unpacking the day.
From sunrise to supper time, Namib Mills is there, feeding the nation with care, quality, and heart.
We believe food is more than nourishment. It's dignity. It's hope. It's the start of a better tomorrow.
Through sustainable production processes, job creation, and affordable, nutritious food, Namib Mills is driving economic growth one plate at a time. Because when we say feeding the nation,
we mean uplifting lives,
empowering communities, and building a future where no one is left behind.
Namib Mills, proudly Namibian,
passionately feeding the nation. Namib Mills, feeding the nation.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Our handle is EagleFM Namibia.
Great news! Impa just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of Impa? Get all exclusive features for just 36 Namibian dollars a month.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud. So.
Not a fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person that doesn't have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura. And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before. It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Omutia, with the Kirakaguna, E. Matina, Omjo, Chicago Shafas and Anana, Longishifa, Yai, Shuikemoshuana, E. Moyao, Otaimbo, what is a mini, Anagashifa, Yanamibia, Ombitom, Banawa, Orangeka, Faith and Ina, Omaguro, Niranitoma, Yue, Yongishifa, Yokupitramo, Eagle FM Media House. Gue twende time neha u kakombanga nena. Kara omkwashi paregi uime po yo mo programa detu. Moambo dengera selma konara heta tuimu. Datu datu heari hamanon tano o nayaj. Eagle FM, the eye.
A very good morning to you, my dear listeners.